the Christian's confidence. As I said, as I began that lesson on last week, we realize that God wants us and wants everybody to be a Christian. And he wants people to live the Christian life with courage and with confidence. So much in his word, matter of fact, everything in his word, gives us confidence to live according to his will. But particularly, there are some scriptures that even talk about specifically the word confidence that we can have as being a child of God. And so each and every day that we awake from our bed, we can face that day with confidence. We don't know what will happen in that day, but we know God holds that day in his hand. And if we are living as he has directed for us to live, we know everything will end well for us as a child of God. Everything may not be well as we look at it as being well, but for the child of God, it will be well because God will be with us. He would have walked with us through that particular day. And that makes life worth living, to know that God is with us. Last week I said that there was some we know scriptures in the Bible. Not we believe, perhaps, or that may be, but the scripture says we know. That tells me that I can be confident. I can be assured that whatever that thing is that the scripture talks about, we know that it will come to pass. And it'll come to pass in a good way for me if I am a faithful child of God. I said there were four things, and two things I talked about last week. We know scriptures. The first one we talked about was that in Romans 8 and verse 28, where the Bible says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, and to them that are the called according to his purpose. So we can have confidence in knowing that whatever happens, whatever transpires in our life, that it will work together for our good. Not only that, but we talked about that we moan in this tabernacle that we are in, that is our fleshly body. And we have problems, and we have struggles, and we have toils, and we have physical difficulties. But the scripture gives us assurance, again, if we are faithful children of God, that one of these days, this old fleshly body will go the way of all the earth. And we'll be able, when the time comes, to put on a new body. And so the scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I don't know about you, but those are some good we know scriptures. They give me comfort. They give me hope. They give me assurance, again, that everything will be all right. As we continue on then for today, I want to share two other scriptures with you. But I want to just begin these other two scriptures along with other points, of course, with Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6, the last verse that was read this morning, as Paul, the Hebrew writer, I should say, is writing to the Hebrew Christians. In verse number 6, he says, but Christ as a son over his own house. Whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm until the end. Brothers and sisters, we got to hold on until the end. Hold fast, he says, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm until the end. The two things that I've already shared with you on last week and briefly gave you a summary this morning should be great motivations for us to hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing firm unto the end. We should be confident this morning in knowing that our prayers, the child of God, doing the will of God, that our prayers will be answered. I don't know about you, but that gives me confidence to know that God hears and answers my prayer. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, notice what it says. It says, and this is the what? Confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he what? Heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. Do you see the confidence in that scripture? Do you see the assurance that we have in that scripture? That God will answer our prayers and he will grant the petitions that we have desired of him according to his will. That's the driving point in that verse, according to his will. So again, as Christians, we need to live our lives not as we will, but as he will. You remember what Jesus said when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane? He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But then he went on and said, nevertheless, not as I willed, but thy will be done. So as we pray to God, we must pray and should pray, Father, grant me whatever it is that we are petitioning, not according to my will, but according to your will. And this is what John is saying here, that when we pray a prayer like that, we have confidence in knowing, number one, that he hears us, and number two, that he will grant the petitions that we have desired of him according to his will. That gives me, again, as I've said, much confidence. And I know then that we need to realize that the Lord can't lie. It's impossible for him to lie, and he will not lie. So he will not mislead us. The scriptures, they are the word of the Lord. And the Lord will not mislead us. So if he tells us that he will hear and will answer our prayers according to his will, we can have confidence and assurance in knowing that he'll do exactly what he says he'll do. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 7 and 8, notice what he says. He says, ask. This is the Lord talking. Ask and it shall be what? Given. Then he goes on and he says what? Seek and what? Ye shall find. Knock and the door, it shall be opened unto you. And then verse number 8, he says this. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open. Does the Lord lie? He does not lie. He cannot lie. He will not lie. So if he says this, it will come to pass. And one thing we need to notice about this, that these terms, they are written in the present tense term, if you will, which means that it is a continuous action, that one don't knock just one time, but he keeps on knocking. He keeps on seeking. He keeps on asking. When we keep on doing that, the Lord will hear and answer our prayers again according to his will. Now, the wonderful thing about the Lord is that he's so much better than a sinful man is. Why do I say that? Because there are some passages in the Bible that talks about a sinful man that answered a particular lady's request, or granted, I should say, a particular lady's request. Now, if a sinful man would do that, how much more would a righteous God do it? You know what Jesus said in Luke chapter 18 and verse number 1 beginning? Notice what he says there, as the scripture says. The Bible says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to what? Always. You see this continuous action here? Men ought to always pray and what? Not faint. Not lose heart. You see, if we faint, if we lose heart, that shows we don't have the confidence. We don't have the trust in God that we ought to have. So he said, men ought to always pray and not faint, or not lose heart. Men ought to continue to pray. Now, he uses a parable to teach the necessity of continuous prayer. And then the Bible goes on and he says this in the next verse, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. That sounds like a sinful man, doesn't it, to you? He feared not God and cared nothing about man. But then the scripture goes on and says, and there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. The scripture goes on and says, and he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man. He says, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her what? Continual coming she weary me. You see the continuous action? You see the always going to this judge here? Jesus is laying out the case, if you will, for continuous asking, continuous seeking, continuous knocking, continuous praying. So he says, I'm going to grant a request. That's the sinful man talking. I'm going to grant a request, lest she just burn me out by her continuous coming to me. And then the Bible goes on and says in the next verse, and the Lord says, hear what the unjust judge says. Next verse says this, and shall not God avenge his own elect? Shall not God answer the prayers of his children? That's what that's saying. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? The scripture says God will hear and answer his children's prayer. This sinful man did it, and there's no sin about God. Now, if a sinful man would do that, how much more would a righteous God do that? Thank God that he hears and he answers his children's prayer. So we know then, as John says, that he hears us. And we know that whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petition that we desire of him, because we have asked according to his will. Thank God that he's a God that answers prayer. Another thing, as we talk about this continuous going, that suggests to us, not only does it suggest to us, but it teaches us that we have to sometime wait on God to answer our prayers, which means we have to be patient. God is long-suffering with us. We have to be long-suffering and patient to wait for God to answer our prayers according to his will. You know what the sweet singer of Israel said on one occasion in Psalm chapter 40? In verse number 1, he says this. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. How did he wait? I waited patiently. He wasn't like the man who one time they say that a man was praying for patience, and he said, Lord, give me patience and give it to me right now. He was one who was willing to wait on the Lord. And look at what happened as a result of his waiting on the Lord. The psalmist went on and he says this. He brought me up out of a horrible pit. I wonder if he hadn't waited on the Lord, what that would have happened. But because he waited on the Lord brought him up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set his feet, as he says, set my feet upon a rock and established my going. Sometimes we get ahead of God, and God can't work his will or won't work his will in our lives because we've run off and left God. We need to wait on God and let God work with us. Let God work in us the thing according to his will. Again, John says, this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And why does he hear us and answer our prayer? He does that because we are doing his will. So it's important for you and me to do what God tells us to do. Don't expect God to hear and answer our prayers if we're not going to obey him. And so John would say this in the book of 1 John, chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. He says this, Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have what? Confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we do what? Receive of him. Why? Because we keep his commandments. We got to do what God says if we want God to hear and answer our prayers according to his will. We keep his commandments, he says, and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We cannot fool God. God knows what's in our heart. That's why he says, if our hearts condemn us not. Just before that, and I'll talk about that in just a little bit, he says, basically, we know what's in our heart. Now he says, if our heart condemns us not, then we're going to get what we ask of God because we do his will. God knows what's in our heart. And that's the only somebody that knows what's in our heart is God. He knows that. Outside of this world I'm talking about, we know what's there. But you don't know what's in my heart. I don't know what's in your heart. Only God knows exactly what's in our heart. And so he says, now, if our hearts condemn us not, then we're going to get what we ask of God, because we do his will. So we cannot then fool God. He knows what's in our heart. Drop back up to verse 19 of the same chapter that we just talked about. Verse 19, notice what he said. Beloved, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. And verse 20 says this, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Now, if we know that we ain't right, don't you think God knows that too? Because he's greater than all things. So he says, if our hearts condemn us, then God is greater than our heart because he knows all things. So then he goes down and said, now if our hearts condemn us not, then we're going to get what we ask because we do his will or we keep his commandment. So receiving the petition that we ask of God is based on the condition that we are doing the will of God. And when we pray, we must not have doubts about what we're praying for. Because the Bible says this in James chapter 1, and I know he's talking about wisdom there, but the principle is the same for it all. In James 1 and verse 5 and 7, the Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, he says, let him do what? Ask of God. Pray to God for it. That giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And it shall be what? Given him. That sounds like ask and you shall receive again, doesn't it? If you lack wisdom, he says, pray to God and God will give it to you. But then verse 6 says this, but let him ask what? In faith. In other words, believing. Ask with confidence. Ask with trust. Not wavering or not doubting. For he that wavereth is like a what? Wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7 says this, let not that man think that he shall receive what? Anything of the Lord. If we're asking, if we're praying, wavering, doubting, not with confidence, not with faith, not with trust, don't even think you're going to, don't even look for it. We need to pray again with faith. You see, when we don't have faith with our prayers, that puts us in the category of sin. Romans 14 and verse 23 says this, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever, if you're eating not of faith, if you're praying not of faith, if you're singing not of faith, if you're giving not of faith, if you're assembling not of faith, whatsoever is not of faith is what? Sin. So when we pray to God, again, we need to pray in faith. And our lives need to be conducive to the will of God in order that we receive the things that we have asked of. So John says, again, that we know, we have confidence that if we are doing the will of God, that whatever we ask according to his will, he will give it to us. Does that give you confidence? Does that help you face the day without fear, without reservation? To know that you have a loving God that wants to bless you and will bless you with the things that you need in this life according to his will. God's going to make sure that we are taken care of. We may not have everything we want, but we'll certainly have everything we need. And that's all you need is what you need. God is a wonderful God. And then the fourth we know statement is found in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 beginning. The Bible says, and this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is where? In his Son. He that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may what?
Know.
Have confidence that ye have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. The Lord wants us to know that we're saved. He don't want us to go through life wishing and just hoping that we're saved. But he wants us to know it. He wants us to live life with the assurance that we are saved. I don't know anything that gives a person more confidence in that than to know that he or she is saved. How can you know it? You can know it, again, going back to what we were talking about, prayer. If you're doing what God says, you can know that you're saved. Anybody going through life wishing that they are saved or will be saved, that tells me that person is not doing what God says. Or at least they are not trusting in what God says. Because God says if we do his will, we'll be saved. So he says these things, they are written unto you that believe, that you may know that you're saved. You see, God makes it possible for us to be saved through his Son, Jesus Christ. And I know as we live this life, we have to live in a life of sacrifice. And there are many things we have to give up in this life that we hold dear. But in the end, if we are faithful to the Lord, we'll be saved. We'll be saved. You know, the story was talked in Mark chapter 10 about the rich young ruler. Y'all remember that story, don't you? How he came to Jesus and wanted to know what he needed to do to be saved or to have eternal life. Jesus, of course, answered his question. He says, all of these things have I done from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus says, go and sell what you have, give to the poor, and then come and you'll have eternal life. The Bible says he went away sorrowful. Then the immediate disciples, apostles that were with Jesus, they said, who can be saved? They realized that everybody has some bit of material possessions. Who can be saved? He says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter eternal life or enter heaven. Didn't say a rich man couldn't go there, but he says it'll be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven, because riches have a way of controlling folks. Folks can't control riches many times. Riches turn around controlling them. And riches, if you don't have the right attitude toward them, will take you away from God. And so again, when they ask this question, who can be saved? He says, with men, nothing is possible, but with God, all things are possible. And then he went on and he said this to his apostles or to his disciples there. In Matthew 10, verse 28, then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and followed thee. Peter says, we've given it all up to follow you. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and the world to come, what? Eternal life. What has Jesus said? Jesus is saying, again, if you follow me, I am giving you the assurance, the same assurance that John gave his readers in his day and time, that you can know that you have eternal life. If you follow me, you're not going to follow me for nothing. I got something in store for you. You will receive eternal life. But again, what's the key? You got to follow me. We got to obey the Lord. So when we obey the Lord, again, we can know that we have eternal life. And where did that come from? It didn't come from man. It came from God. Notice again what John says. John says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 11, he says, and this is the record that who? God has given to us. We got the record. God gave this record to us. It wasn't some smart man somewhere, but it was God. And again, God cannot lie, does not lie, will not lie. Impossible for him to lie. God has given us this record, and if it comes from God, we can depend on it. We have confidence in it. We can trust it. We can know that we have eternal life. It can't be no surer than that, brothers and sisters. When it comes from God, it can't be any surer than that. That inheritance that we have, which is eternal life, is reserved for us in heaven. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 beginning, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved where? In heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That eternal life, we have it in promise now as we do the will of God. But it is reserved for us in heaven. And when this life is over and we hear him say, well done, eternal life will be in reality forever and ever with our Lord. I'm looking forward to that. Why about you? Do you have confidence in that? Are you still thinking maybe perhaps I'll be saved? We need to have assurance, have confidence that we're saved. And John says these things are written that you might know, that you might have that confidence. So we need to make sure then that we do not lose what has been reserved for us. It's laid up for us there in heaven. Let's make sure we get it by living and doing the will of God. 2 John verse 8, the Bible says, look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Thank God that he gives us confidence, and we can live this life with the full assurance that God will be there walking right along through life with us, no matter what the struggle, no matter what the trial. He'll be right with us because he has something great waiting for us in heaven. The Christian life, then, as I close, it's the best life that one could ever live. To be a child of God is the best thing that one can be. God wants all people to be his children, but only those that obey his will and do what he has taught them to do will be his children. So this morning, if we have any who are not a child of God, have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, all of God's children follow Christ. All of God's children are in his body. If we have any this morning that are not in the Lord's body, that is the Lord's church, the church is the body of Christ, Ephesians 1 and verse 23. If you're not in that body, I encourage you to become a member of the body so that you can have the confidence that all of God's children have, that are following the Lord, doing His will. How do you become a member of the body? The Bible has a plan. The Bible says you must hear and believe the gospel, Acts 15:7. You must repent of your past sins, Luke 13:3. You must confess that Jesus is the Son of God, Acts 8 and verse 37. And you must go down in a watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. When you do that, the Lord will add you to His church, Acts 2 and verse 47. You come up from that watery grave of baptism, a member of the body of Christ, the church that you can read about in the New Testament. And as you continue to live your life, you can have full assurance that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are called according to His purpose. You can have full assurance that when this earthly house of this tabernacle, that is, when this body is dissolved, that you have another building eternally in heaven. You'll have full assurance that God will hear and answer your prayer according to His will when you keep His commandments. And you can have full assurance that eternal life will be yours when you do His will. And you'll receive that crown of life when this world is all over and when we stand before the judgment and we'll hear Him say, "Well done." The confidence of a Christian. Is there anyone who needs to respond this morning? We want to encourage you to do that. If you're already a child of God, and perhaps, again, you have lost some of that confidence, you're not so sure about these things anymore, I want to encourage you this morning to renew your confidence that you have in Jesus Christ. And if it has caused you, because of the lack of confidence, it has caused you to waver, caused you to go astray, cause you to err along the way. Turn away from that and turn back to Christ. So if you need to confess of it every way, we want you to come this morning. Or maybe you just need prayer. Whatever your need is this morning, we want to encourage you to come. Come right now while we're standing, while we're singing.
Somebody's knocking at your door. Somebody's knocking at your door. Oh, sin.